morning. Today we are going to be starting, Be'ezras Hashem, a new topic. The topic of Torah Mi-Sinai. What was given at Sinai? When was it given? How did the Torah Shebaal Peh evolve? How do we have machlokas? This is, of course, a topic that I imagine many of you are already familiar with. But it's also a topic that comes up a lot in various different contexts and is very difficult to figure out on many levels. There do seem to be a lot of opinions and a lot of stiros. If you look in your packets, and we're not going to do this together, but starting on page 21 of your packet, you'll see a Chazon Ish. This is the Chazon Ish in Aruch Chaim, Simen Kuf Chaf Hei, which is entitled Sidur Nesinas Parshios HaTorah, where he tries to tackle the question of how it was that the Torah was given. When was the Torah given? Were all the mitzvahs given at Sinai? Were some given at Sinai and some given later as the matters came up? What about Olam Moav? What about Arvos Moav and the like? And on the one hand, this is typical Chazon Ish. On the other hand, it's very atypical Chazon Ish. It's typical Chazon Ish in the sense that, like all sugyas, he tackles this as a sugya. So he goes and he quotes all the psukim and he quotes all the gemaras and he says the contradictions and he says his resolution. And we're not going to read it together. You can read it on your own. I didn't even include the entire thing in any way. You couldn't possibly read the copy that I gave you. But in that sense, it's typical Chazon Ish. And one of the things that he says is, this is taka very shver. It's a very hard sugya. And many of the things he says, he admits that he is only presenting them tentatively because it's so hard to figure out. And he especially focuses on the sheet of the Ramban. Today we're going to focus on the sheet of the Ramban more, but it highlights the difficulty of the sugya. So in that sense, it's typical Chazon Ish in the sense that he presents the sugya very broadly, all the different places it comes up in Shas, and attempts to resolve all the issues. On the other hand, it's very atypical Chazon Ish. It's not his typical topic. Sidur Nesinas, how often do you see a siman with a topic, and a topic that's not a standard pure Shas topic? So how in the world did he get to writing this and talking about this? So I saw in the doctoral dissertation of Dr. Binyamin Brown, who on the Chazon Ish, his dissertation was later revised as a book, a very interesting, fascinating biography on the Chazon Ish. But anyway, in the doctoral dissertation, he interviewed a number of people that had a connection to the Chazon Ish. And one of them was a fellow named Rabbi Dr. Yehuda Levy, or Leo Levy. Some of you may be familiar with him. Over the years, he's written a number of articles in Tradition. And the Chazon Ish, interestingly enough, over many decades, and Brown thinks that this happened especially when he recognized that it was unlikely that he was going to have his own children, took under his wings troubled yeshiva students that had issues, that had troubles, that were bothered by problems. His famous connection with a number of people who later on became even a prominent maskilim was during this period of time, and he learned with them. Brown thinks he especially liked learning with guys of this nature when they were younger, before they got tainted by the yeshiva shederach. Anyway, so he has a long interview with this fellow, Yehuda Levy, and he writes that the Chazon Ish wrote this because he came to the Chazon Ish with all the questions and the problems, or many of the problems, that he had read in books of biblical criticism, and presented them to the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish, in grappling with these issues, that's how he came to write this particular siman in the Chazon Ish, which, as I said, in many ways is quite different than much of what he usually deals with. But on that note, let's go back to the beginning, and we're going to begin then with the Shitas HaRambam. And the Rambam writes, this is from the Yud Gimel Ikarim, from the Akdamah to Perusha Mishnayos, one of the Yesodos HaTorah VaYesod HaShmini Hu Torah Min HaShemayim VeHu Shenamin Shekol HaTorah Hazu HaNimtzeis BiYadenu Hayom Hazeh Hi HaTorah SheNitna LeMoshe VeShehi Kula MiPi HaGvura. The Iker of Torah Min HaShemayim, Torah MiSinai. Now, the notion of Torah Min HaShemayim, Torah MiSinai, is one which is pretty obvious, and everybody certainly agrees to it. The fact that it is an Iker is more or less explicit in Shas. The Mishnah in Perek HaChelek says that HaOmer, that someone who says Torah is not min HaShemayim, even one pasuk, even one letter, ein lo chelak li'olam haba, and thus the idea that Torah is min HaShemayim, and someone who says that Moshe Rabbeinu made it up or someone else made it up, is certainly obvious that it's an Iker. There are many that object to the particular formulation of this first sentence where he says Shekol HaTorah Zu HaNimtzeis BiYadenu Hayom. And it seems that he's talking even about the text of the Torah, and implying then that every single letter, every single word of the Torah is from Sinai, and that our text, every word is accurate. This raises an issue. Shapiro and others, there's an excellent article about this by Dr. Lehman, where he shows that there are indeed a number of cases where the text of our Torah seems to be problematic. They're very rarely, not usually big problems, but they're a little more than the ones that everybody knows about, Petzua Daka and Daka, cases where Chazal, as Rabbi Akiva Eiger points out, seem to have different texts and the like. And there are those who therefore wanted to explain that the Rambam here didn't mean to say that every word precisely as it stated is as we have it, but that generally the Torah, and as he's going to explain, both the written Torah and, as he continues to say, the Torah Shebaal Peh as well, come from Sinai. He doesn't mean to say, and he's quite aware that there are a handful of minor discrepancies in terms of the particular letters. The Rambam already pointed out that because Ein Anu Bekiyam Bechseres V'Yaseros, therefore Sefer Torah that has minor errors is kasher b'diavad, in the famous Tshuvas HaRambam and the like. So he continues, Kilomar shehigia elav kulom es Hashem haga'as haga'as shekorin osa al derech ha'hash'ala dibor, that God spoke the entire Torah to Moshe. Rambam notes that the term Dibor, which is used with respect to communication between God and Moshe, by Daber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, is of course Lashon HaHash'ala. It's a borrowed term. It's impossible. God cannot actually speak. It's an anthropomorphism. But it's compared to Dibor in the sense that just like when two human beings communicate with each other, they do so through the means of Dibor, so too when God communicated directly to Moshe Rabbeinu, the term Dibor is used as a metaphor. Ve'ein yodeya echos osa ha'haga'a ela hu alav ha'shalom asher higia elav. We who aren't prophets, we can't comprehend the nature of prophecy, namely the way in which God communicates with man. And certainly, even if we were prophets, we couldn't understand the way God communicated to Moshe, as the Rambam stresses in another one of the Ikari Emuna, the uniqueness of the prophecy of Moshe. V'shu b'malas lavlar shekorin lefanav v'kosiv kula ta'aricheha v'sipureha u'mitzvoseha v'kach nikra mechokek. Moshe is called a mechokek because he was like a stenographer. Just like a stenographer writes down every single word precisely as he heard it, without any sort of deviation in any sense, so too, when Moshe wrote down the words of the Torah, he did so in the same manner. Every single word is precisely the word of God. No innovation of Moshe was included. This also raises a different issue, another one discussed by the Rishonim, which is how do we understand the book of Dvarim and the like. The Rambam, to some degree, does take a stand on this issue. There are different opinions. But even so, the Pasha Pshat is that all the opinions with respect to Dvarim conform with this, in the sense that even if Moshe had a higher role or slightly different role in the Book of Dvarim, the actual words that were eventually incorporated into the book were dictated directly from God to Moshe. Ve'en hevdel bein uvnecham kush u'mitzrayim uput v'knan v'shem ishto me'tavel bas matred o anochi Hashem v'shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad hakol mipi ha'gvura v'hakol toras Hashem tamima tahor kedosha emes. Because every single word is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every single word, there's no such thing really as a pasuk which is more important or less important. Even the chronologies in the Torah, which seem to be relatively uninteresting and unimportant, are equally from God, and thus in a sense equally important to psukim that we generally do consider important, like Anochi and Shema. V'zeu inyan ein Torah min ha-shamayim, amru shuhu omer shekol ha-Torah kula mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu chutz mipasuk echad, amru HaKadosh Baruch Hu ha-lamosh mipi atzmo, v'zehu ki dvar shem baza. Here he's referring to the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says anyone who says that even if a single pasuk, a single word, was written by Moshe Rabbeinu of the Torah, this is someone who ein lo chelak lom haba, es dvar shem baza, v'etz mesoso hefer, etc., etc. Ela kol o sheba, yesh ba chachmos v'niflaos, Lemi shevinu Hashem, velo tusag tachlis chachmasa arukah me'eretz midah urchava mineyam. It's not just the mekubalim who say that every single letter and every single word of the Torah has infinite wisdom and is full of inferences in ramazim. Even the Rambam says so. Perhaps he had a different understanding than the mekubalim. But the notion that because every single letter is from God, therefore every single letter has chachma and importance well beyond what we could sometimes understand is something that all agree to. Ve'en lo adam elo lispalu kamo David ha-Mashiach Elokei Yaakov shispalel gal einai v'abita niflos mitorasecha. So that is with respect to the text of the Torah. Now the Rambam continues to discuss the tradition. V'chein perusha ha-mekubal gam hu mipi ha-gvura. Not only is the text of the Torah from God, but also the accepted interpretation, the tradition, the Mesorah, the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Later the Rambam will explain what exactly he means by Perusha HaMekubal, but that too, meaning to say the traditional understanding of the text of the Torah is also from God. This was not something that was made up. V'zesh anu osim ayom tzur sasukav alula v'shofar v'tzitzis v'tfilin v'zulasam hi'atzma tzur sh'amar Hashem L'Moshe v'amar l'hu. Of course, as we know, the Rambam points out, there are many things that if we were to read the Torah, we wouldn't quite understand what they mean. The Torah says, Ukshartem lios al yadecha vayula totafos bein einecha. These words make no sense without any type of oral tradition. What is an os? How could you tie an os on your arm? What is a totafos? The notion that tefillin, that those words refer to tefillin, and that tefillin are black boxes with parshios made out of leather, etc., etc., all that, the explanation of the Torah was given to Moshe at Sinai as well. V'hu rak movil shlichus ne'eman b'ma shehevi. And Moshe was simply then an emissary to pass on this tradition from Sinai all the way to us, and the Rambam concludes all or almost all of the Yud Gimel Ikarim with a pasuk showing that this is true and that it's an ikar, and the pasuk of the supporting this is Bezos Teidun Ki Ani Hashem Shelachani Ki Lo Milibi. I Moshe didn't make anything up; it's all from God. The Rambam stresses this idea that Kol HaTorah is from Hakadosh Baruch Hu and also Misinai in many places. For example, in the Minyan HaMitzvos preceding the Mishnah Torah, he writes that these 613 mitzvos, Shenemar lo l'Moshe b'Sinai, hein uklalosein upratosein v'dikdukein. Here the Rambam adds something very important. It is not just the Taryag mitzvos that were given at Sinai, but also all of their interpretations, their details, klalosein, pratosein v'dikdukein. Seemingly, he's saying that every single interpretation, all the interpretations of the psukim that we have, all of them were given at Sinai. That seems to be what he's saying. V'chol ozen ha'kolos v'apratos v'diktukin v'habiurin shel kol mitzvah u'mitzvah hitor she'bal peh she'kiblu beistin mipi beistin. All of these interpretations of the psukim are what we call Torah she'bal peh, that was passed down from beistin to beistin generation after generation. And then he says there are other mitzvos that are midrabanan that were innovated later, like Mikra Megillah and Ner Chanukah and Tainus Tisha B'Av and the like. And they too have many details, and that's what he's going to explain. And likewise, in the Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah, he writes, Kol mitzvah shenitnu lo l'moshe b'sinai b'feirushan nitnu. Like we just saw, every mitzvah given at Sinai was given with its interpretation. Shene'amar v'etna l'chaz l'chos ha'aven v'atorah v'amitzvah. So how do we interpret this pasuk? Torah, which was given at Sinai, refers to zu tor shebichsav, and mitzvah is perusha. So when it says Torah and mitzvah, it means the Torah and the perush, and thus the pasuk explicitly states that Torah, as well as the interpretation of the Torah, is given at Sinai. V'tzivanu l'asus ha-Torah al pi ha-mitzvah v'amitzvah zuhi ha-nikres tor shebal peh. So the Torah means tor shebichsav, and the mitzvah means tor shebal peh. And then in the next paragraph he writes that the entire text of the Torah was written down by Moshe Kodem Shiyamas. So first of all, we see an important point, an obvious point, that when Rambam says that the entire Torah was given at Sinai, we don't mean the text of the Torah. The text of the Torah, of course, was not given or completed until shortly before Moshe died. This is obvious, among other things, because if the text of the Torah was given at Sinai, then how is it that Moshe would have sinned with the Mea Meriva, for example? Presumably, had he known about that, he wouldn't have done it. And likewise, all the other future stories.
What is the machlokes about Megillas Nitnor?
So the machlokes about Megillah Nitnor, Chasuma Nitnor, Bepashtos, we'll see a little later more about that, is the following. There are two, as you're pointing out correctly, there are two opinions in the Gemara how the text of the Torah was delivered. Megillah Nitnor, Chasuma Nitnor. Megillah Mitnah means it was given in installments, either multiple installments or perhaps, according to Ramban, two installments. The first installment, from Bereshis until the story of Matan Torah, was given at Sinai. And the second installment, or the final installment, was given to Moshe, finally, at the very end of his life, after 40 years, before he died. That's the opinion of Megillah Mitnah. The opinion of Chasuma Mitnah means that the entire text of the Torah was given at the very end, before Moshe died, in Arvos Moav. Both opinions agree, however, that the text of the Torah was not completed until after the 40 years. And like I said, that's obvious because the mitzvos. So that's the point. So what does the Rambam say when he says the entire Torah was given at Sinai? What he means to say is that all of the mitzvos were given at Sinai. Not only the mitzvos, but the mitzvos and their perushehan, their interpretation, and the like. So thus, what was given at Sinai was all the mitzvos, and the text of the Torah was only completed at the very end at Arvos Moav. There is, of course, a debate, as you know, in the Gemara, whether who wrote the final eight psukim of the Torah. The Rambam, in the paragraph we just read, seems to adopt the position that Moshe wrote the final eight psukim, but leaving those psukim aside, those are the two opinions. So the Rambam here stresses, as we said, that the entire Torah, in the sense of the mitzvos, the halachos, their interpretation, all of that was given at Sinai. There are a couple of very interesting things to note about this paragraph. The first one is that the interpretation of the Torah was given at Sinai, and the Rambam writes that, how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, "Ve'etna l'chas l'chos ha'aven v'atorah v'hamitzvah." So Torah means the mitzvos, and the mitzvah means their interpretation. The Chavos Ya'ir notes that the Rambam here seems to be basing himself off of the Gemara Brachos, but seems to be misinterpreting the Gemara. The Gemara Brachos makes a similar drash on Daf Hamid Aleph. You could see that in a footnote number 3 on page 2. Amar B'Shem ben Lakish, Ma'i b'chsiv v'etna l'cha es luchos ha'even v'atorah v'hamitzvah asher kasavti l'horosam luchos elu aser sadibros Torah zu mikra Mitzvah zu mishnah, asher kasavti elu neviim v'ksuvim, lahorasam ze gemara, milamei shekulam nitnu b'sinai. So the Rambam seems to be basing his theory off of this gemara, and this gemara, though, doesn't present it exactly as the Rambam presents it. The Chavos Ya'ir points out that the gemara implies that mishnah and talmud and everything was given. It wasn't just the Torah, the mitzvos, and their interpretation, but mishnah and gemara. And it wasn't just simply the mitzvos and their interpretation, which the Chavos Ya'ir says reflects just 1% of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So what would the Rambam say? So I think 2 points could be made. The first point is that the Rambam might simply be understanding the Gemara differently than other interpretations. When it says, when the Gemara darshins, mitzvah zu mishnah, it does not mean the text of the Mishnah, like Meseches Yuma. Rather, it means the interpretation, Perusha. Mishnah for the Rambam means Perusha. That's one point. Another point, another theory that I saw suggested by Rabbi Treibitz, is that the Rambam here, as well as many of the other places that we've seen and we're going to see, among other things, is coming to refute the Karaites. The Karaites, as you know, rejected the notion of an oral law, much like the Tzedukim had done many centuries earlier. And the Rambam, therefore, is trying to show how within the Psukim themselves we see an allusion to the oral law, and that the oral law was indeed given at Sinai. And thus, he's coming based on the Pshuto Shel Mikra. To go ahead and quote a Gemara is not going to convince a Karaite, because the Karaites deny the legitimacy of the Gemara. To go ahead and quote this drasha, Torah luchos aser sadibros, Torah zu mikra, mitzvah zu mishnah, that's not a drasha, that's not a interpretation that would be accepted by the Karaites. If you're going to try to convince the Karaites of something, you have to do it mine obey, which means to say that you have to show it from the psukim themselves. And thus the Rambam brings a proof, not from a drasha, but from the Pshuto Shel Mikra. And he's saying that even in the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the Torah is saying, the psukim are saying, that at Sinai, the mitzvos as well as their interpretation was given. Did you have a question?
Yeah, there's going to be some mitzvos that like stem from events that happen after Matan Torah.
Okay.
It's like Minyanin, like Tzoras Minyanin.
Okay.
Baba Ora,
yes.
Until
excellent. We're going to get to that question, Be'ezras Hashem, shortly. Or not so shortly, but we'll get to that question. A very, very important question. Another question that we could raise here is the following. The Rambam here implies that the entire Torah Shebaal Peh, every single detail of every single mitzvah, was given at Sinai. Like we saw earlier in the Minyan HaMitzvos, Hein v'klalosein u'pratosein v'dikdukehen, and the like. And the problem here is that the Rambam himself writes in many places that there are certain types of drashos that are made up, that the Chachamim throughout the ages innovated. And that too is an idea which he says in many, many places. He develops it in the Hakdama to Perush HaMishnayos. He refers to it in Hilchos Mamrim and the like. And the question that we're going to deal with, and we're going to read a little more before we answer the question, the Rambam himself answers this question, but the question is, what does he mean here? It seems to be a contradiction. On the one hand, he says that Hein v'klalosein v'dikdukehen u'pratosein were all given at Sinai, and at the same time he also says that there are drashos and the like that were made up by the Chachamim throughout the ages in order to interpret the Torah. One place where we see that second category, the notion that there are drashos that are made up, that not every drasha, not every interpretation of the Pasuk was given at Sinai, that even the interpretation of Dinim De'oraisa were not given at Sinai, can be seen at the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim on page 3. In Hilchos Mamrim, the Rambam begins, based in Hagadol Sheb Yerushalayim, Heim Iker Tor Shebal Peh, Veheim Amudei HaHorah, Umehem Chok Umishpat Yotzei L'chol Yisrael. The Beit HaGadol Yerushalayim is the Iker HaHorah. We're going to talk about a little later, perhaps, I don't know if we'll get to it, an important discussion as to what the Rambam and others feel with respect to later Batei Dinim. What happens after there was no longer a Sanhedrin? Did this authority transfer to somebody else? Or is it absolutely limited to the Beis HaGadol Yerushalayim? Can there be new gzeros, for example, made after the Beis HaGadol Yerushalayim? Va'alein evticha Torah shenemar al pi ha-Torah sh'yerucha zu mitzvah saseh v'chol ha-mamin b'moshe Rabbeinu v'Torah sochayv lismoch masa adas aleihen v'lisha'ein aleihen. Kol mi she'eino oseh korasan over below saseh. Anyone who violates their rulings is in violation of the prohibition shenemar lo sasem nadavar sh'yagiru l'chol yaminu smol ve'ein lokin alav zem b'pnei sh'nitin la'zharas misa spaced in sh'kol chacham amara al dvereihem misasu b'chenek sh'nemar isha she'yaseh b'zadon, because there's the onesh of zakin mamre, there's no malchus because it's nitin la'zharas misa spaced in. Echad advarim shalamdu osan mepi ha'shmua ve'hem tor she'bal peh ve'echad advarim shalamedin mepi da'atan ve'achas min ha'midos sh'atorah nedreshes bahen ve'nirin be'einehen sh'davar zeh kachu ve'echad advarim sh'asa'um siyag ולפי מה שהשעת שריחה להן והן הגזרס והתקנוס והמנהגוס כל אחד ואחד מאלו השלוש הדברים מצווה עשה לשמוע להן ועובר על כל אחד מהן עובר לא ססה. So here the Rambam states that included in the prohibition of lo sasur and the mitzvah saseh of asisa kolchol asher yerucha are three types of laws. The Rambam famously does not hold that the role of Beis Din is limited even on a d'oraisa level with respect to these psukim in terms of their judicial role or even their interpretive role, but even their legislative role. And thus the Rambam here says that there are three things about which lo sasur are shayach. One is somebody who denies a tradition, a halacha l'moshe misinai, a tradition that the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, states. The second is someone who denies a novel interpretation based on the Mido Shatar Nidreshes Bahen, something Shalimdum Mipi Da'atam, something that they innovated, that they thought of on their own. And if you deny such a thing, then you too are in violation of Lo Sasor. And finally, one is in violation of Lo Sasor with respect to their legislation as well, namely Gzeros, Takanos, and Minhagim. Now here the Rambam, as we stated, seems to contradict what he said earlier. Earlier he said that Hein v'klaloseinu pratoseinu dikdukeinu was given at Sinai, and here he says that the Sanhedrin HaGadol makes things up. They say things mipi da'atan, with their rules, of course, their hermeneutical principles, shal sheseh mido shatar nedreshes bahen. But nevertheless, these weren't traditions. So which one is it? Things that are made up, or was everything coming from Sinai? Well, perhaps you could say, very simple, everything was originally given at Sinai to Moshe, hein v'klal oseinu pratoseinu v'dikdukeinu, but perhaps sometimes some things were forgotten and they had to be once again derived using the hermeneutical principles, and thus both could be true. All the klalim and pratim were given at Sinai, but at the same time, the Beis Din HaGadol uses drashos to make up things new to recreate the Masorah. That might be a legitimate approach in some thinkers. In fact, as we'll see shortly, the Gaonim and the like adopt such an approach, but clearly the Rambam doesn't hold of this. The Rambam goes to great lengths to say that that position is stupid, as we'll see later. Those weren't his exact words, but something close to it. The Rambam, as we'll see shortly, held that there was no forgetfulness with respect to these types of things. And thus, we have the question, what is he talking about? And likewise, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos reiterates this point. Hine lo kol ma shenimtza l'chachamim shehotzi behekesh mishol shesrei midos ne'mar shehu ne'mar l'moshe mi Sinai. This, of course, relates as well, though we're not going to get into it, the famous Shitos of the Rambam about what exactly is Medivrei Sofrim, what does Medivrei Sofrim mean, what's included in Medivrei Sofrim, Kiddushei Kasef, Kiddushei Shtar, and the like. That's going to be beyond the scope of our discussion, but is clearly relevant. Turning to page 4, we will see that in the Hakdama to Perusha Mishnayis, he really answers these questions. And his answer is, he writes, V'zeh ha-perush klalei inyanim, u'ma shelo shama bo, davar min ha-navi alav ha-shalom, min ha-anafim hotzi ha-din bo behekish b'chukim ha-shalosh esrei asar ha-nesunim lo misinai. Essentially, the Rambam writes that there is a distinction between the Ikarim and the Anafim, the main points and the branches and the details. When we say that the entire Torah of Al Peh was given at Sinai, the Rambam says that actually means the Ikarim. So the notion that when it says Vayula Totafos Bein Einecha, Totafos mean Tfilin, and Tfilin are black boxes, and they are square, and they contain four parshios, and on the Shel Rosh they're in four separate compartments, and so on and so forth, those are the Ikarim, the Shorashim, as opposed to the Anafim. The Shorashim, the main points, were all given at Sinai. About them there is no machlokas, as we shall see, and these things were never forgotten. Whereas the Anafim, the branches, the details, many of the minutia, those things were not given at Sinai. So it's not the case, though certainly if you only had certain Lashonas in the Rambam, you would have seen this. It's not the case that every single detail of the Mesorah of the Tarsha Baal Peh was given at Sinai. As the Rambam states, using the Midosh Atar Nedreshes Bahan, and they're not just limited to Yud Gimel Midosh Atar Nedreshes Bahan, Sfar is included, as we talked about earlier. The Rambam writes Hekesh. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, he writes Yitur and Riboy. So all of the ways in which Chazal Darshan Psukim, those things were all innovated later. As the generations passed, new questions arose, new interpretations and understandings arose. And the truth of the matter is that to a large degree, many, 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 many things are included in this category. Because after all, anything about which there is machlokes is in this category. And there's a machlokes about a lot of dinim deraisa. If you study Shas, you'll know that. And therefore, many, many, many of the details, indeed, were not given at Sinai, as can be seen from the fact that there is machlokes. So, again, even though the Rambam says, Heinu pratosem v'diktu keyen, we're all given at Sinai, that means the Ikarim, the Shorashim, but not the Anafim. Now, to some degree, the Anafim were also given at Sinai, because the principles by which Chazal knew how to interpret the Torah were given at Sinai. The Yud Gimel Mido Shatar Nidreshes Bahen were given at Sinai as well, and thus, in a more indirect fashion, they too come back to Sinai. But of course, they're also the drasho shechidshu atzmam, as the Rambam says. And thus, if we raise an issue, a famous question that is asked, what came first, the dinim or the drashos? Meaning to say, you read the Gemara, and the Gemara says that, how do I know a certain thing, and it brings a drasha for it, or Gzeirah Shava, or Riboy, or Hekesh, or the like. So what came first, the chicken or the egg? Did Chazal have this din, and then they looked for a drasha? Or did they use the drashos to prove the din? A very basic and fundamental question when you study Gemara. And to this the Rambam answers, as we'll read inside shortly, both are true. Sometimes the former, sometimes the latter. Sometimes there are certain times when there was a tradition for a particular thing, and Chazal nevertheless wished to look and show how that can be proven from the Psukim. There was a tradition that creates Hadar Meit Esrog, but nevertheless, the Gemara Sukkah tries to show how perhaps it could be derived in some way or the other. There was a tradition that ayin tachas ayin was mamon, and yet Chazal went ahead and tried to prove it. And thus, in that case, the halacha came before the drasha. That's when it comes to drashos that were given at Sinai, things about which there is no machlokas, things that are the ikarim and the shorashim as opposed to the anafim. Whereas, when it comes to drashos that there's machlokas about, the drashos that were made up by Chazal, about which there is machlokas, so in that case, the opposite is true. The drashos came first and then the laws. They were actually interpreting the Torah, and through their interpretations of the Torah, the law and the halacha emerged. So now let's see. I've now outside told you a lot of the ideas, and let's read some of them inside. So we'll look at the Hakdama to the Perasha Mishnayos, which you could see on page 4. Vizeikar yesh l'chal amod al sodo v'hu sha'peirushim ha-mikubalim mepi Moshe ein machlokes bahem b'shum panim. Anything that's a perusho ha-mikubal, mikubal meaning to say it's a tradition going back to Moshe, there is never any machlokes. Shaharei me'az ve'adata lo matanu machlokes nafla b'zman min hazmanim. We don't find there was ever a machlokes about a perusha mikubal. Now, in a certain sense, that's an easy answer to give, because you can never disprove it. Because any time you tell me that there's a machlokes, I'll just say it's not a perush hamekubal. So you can't ever disprove it. But we'll see, there are indeed a lot of questions in the Rambam, and they arise, as we'll shortly see, from the difference between perushim hamekubalim and halacha l'moshe misinai, which are two distinct but very similar categories for the Rambam. What are the perushim hamekubalim? Kedei sheyomar echad hamotias ayin chavero yotiu es eino shenemar ayin ba'ayin v'yomar sheni eino ela kofer shechayev lases v'lo matzanu gamken machlokes b'mesham arkasa priy tzadar kedei sheyomar echad shu esro v'yomar echad shehu chavushim o imunim o zulaso v'lo matzanu gamken machlokes b'eitz avo shu hadas v'lo matzanu machlokes b'divrei akasav v'katzos as kapa shu kofer v'lo b'ma she'amar uvas ish kohen ki sechel is nos ba'ish tisarev shezu hagzera ein lanu ligzarosa elatia eishes ish, etc. So there are lots of cases where there's no machlokes, and this is certainly true. And about this point, though, as I said, in a certain sense, you can't disprove it. But really, this is, when you study Shas, a point which is clearly reinforced again and again, that there are certain types of perushim ha-mekubalim about which there's no machlokas. We don't find a machlokas about what an esrog is. We don't find a machlokas about ayin tachas ayin. Even when there's an opinion in a Gemara at one point that suggests that, the Gemara says, mamon mamish kasal kadaiktach, and rejects it immediately. We never find a machlokas what the katzosa as kapa means, that there's a havamina that we cut off their hand, etc., etc. Ukiyoti bezeh, bechlala mitzvos, ein machlokes bahen, shekulon perushim ukubalim mipi Moshe, valein valduman amru, kol ha-Torah nemru klalosel pretusav v'dikdu kami Sinai. So here the Rambam says an important yesod. We saw the Gemara, the famous medrash quoted by Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Bahar, pretusav v'dikdu kahar nemru misinai. What does that mean according to the Rambam? Well, the simple reading of the Gemara and the medrash and the Rashi is that means literally kol pratosav v'diktukah were given at Sinai. Every single drasha was given at Sinai. But the Rambam says, no, we shouldn't interpret that Chazal literally. When it says kol klalosav pratosav v'diktukah nemru l'moshe misinai, that means perushim ha-mikubalim. That means that when the Torah said ayin tachas ayin, it meant Hashem told Moshe at that same time, it meant mamon. But it does not mean every single detail and every single drasha given in Chazal. Aval afal pi shein mekubalin ve'in machlokes bahen mechach masatora hanesuna lanu nucha lahoti mimenu elu apirushim bederech midarkei hasvarot v'asmachtot v'harayos v'haramazim hametzuyim b'mikra. Ukshatira osam betalmud me'ainim v'cholkin al zeh b'ma'arechas ha'iyon u'mevi'in rayos al echad me'elu ha'perushim v'adom l'hem. The Rambam says, while it's true that these perushim ha'mekubalim were given to Moshe, but when the Gemara goes ahead and tries to cite proofs for these, or look for the sources, it does not mean to say that they didn't know that this was the case, but rather, the Gemara tries to show how the perushim ha'mekubalim can even be found, at least through allusions, in the text of the Torah itself. So, the disputes in the Gemara about how exactly we derive ayin tachas ayin is mamon, or that prietz hadar is a esrog, those don't mean to say that there was any doubt, and those are examples of the latter category that we said earlier. We have a din, and then after we have the din, after we know the din, we look for the drasha. And he gives those examples in Shas, skipping a couple paragraphs. V'zen yan mash amru klal osel priatusel, like we said, ratzalomar ha'inyanim shenuchal hotziyam bechlal uprat uvashar yud gimel midos v'hem mekubalim epi Moshe v'kulam af al pishem mekubalim epi Moshe lo nemar behem aloch l'moshe misinai. Here the Rambam addresses a very interesting point, which is that the term aloch l'moshe misinai is used relatively rarely. There's only a couple dozen places in Shas where the term halach l'moshe misinai is used. In fact, in a couple of paragraphs, the Rambam will list most or all of the places. He writes, this is all the places or most of the places where the term halach l'moshe misinai is used. It's not very many. It's only a couple dozen. So, what does that mean? Does that mean that those were the only halachos given to Moshe misinai? So, to answer this, the Rambam makes an important distinction. He says that there are two types of halachos l'moshe misinai. One is perushim ha'mekubalim, and two is what we call halacha l'moshe misinai. What does that mean? Perushim ha'mekubalim are what we said. They are the interpretations that were given to Moshe at Sinai, and that were passed on from generation to generation through the Mesorah, which can be seen or detected to some degree through the Midos Shatorah Nidrashas Bahem in the text. Meaning to say, we can use the text of the Torah through Drashos to understand that Ayin Tachas Ayin is Mamon. And thus, Ayin Tachas Ayin being Mamon is not a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, but it's a Perush HaMekubal. Why is it a Perush HaMekubal? Because it could be derived from the text. So it goes back to Sinai. The drashos that are used are not like the drashos that are used that were created or invented later. Meaning to say, when you see a drasha in Chazal, a Gzeirah Shava, a Kal Vachomer, a Binyan Av, any of the Midos HaTorah Nidreshes Bahem, you don't actually know whether that's a drasha to explain a Perush HaMekubal and show how the Perush HaMekubal is actually from the Pasuk, or whether it was a later invented drasha. Now you could figure it out, because you could figure it out based on if there's machlokas, you know it's not a Perush HaMekubal. But in and of itself, the reader of the Gemara is unable to determine on their own whether something is a particular drasha is a Perush HaMekubal, or it is a tradition. Again, this too brings you back to the issue of Kiddushei Kesem and Kiddushei Shtar. So that is one category of Mesorah Misinai, what we call Perushim HaMekubalim. The second category is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. What's the difference? They both come from Sinai. They're both interpretations of the mitzvos given at Sinai. The difference is that Halacha L'Moshe Misinai cannot be seen or derived from the text itself. These are things about which the tradition was entirely oral. Whenever something is declared a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it means that you can't find any reasonable allusion to it in the text. And the Rambam proves this distinction from a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says that shiurim are halach l'moshe misinai, that the shiur for matzah is a kezayis, and Yom Kippur is a koseves, and so on and so forth, is halach l'moshe misinai. And the Gemara asks, how can that be? There's a pasuk, eretz chitau sora gethenu tenav v'yimon, eretz yishemenu dvash. That pasuk is an allusion to all the shiurim, because each of the minim in the pasuk refer to a certain shear. And the Gemara answers, that's just an asmachta. What does that mean according to the Rambam? What it means is that shear mar halach l'moshe misinai. There is no allusion in the text. Not just allusion. There is no way of seeing shiurim in the text. The Torah never tells you the shiur about anything in the text. That is purely an oral tradition. It's halacha l'moshe misinai. However, when Chazal make this drasha that it's referring to shiurim, that's an asmachta. An asmachta is not like a drasha. An asmachta is something that was used, the Rambam says elsewhere, as a mnemonic device, something to help you remember. So how do I remember the seven different types of shiurim? I'll remember them through the pasuk about the Shiva Saminim. But it's not a drasha. If it was a drasha, then shiurim would be perushim ha-mukubalim. But because it's an asmachta, then it's considered halacha l'moshe misinai. So the Rambam derives from this Gemara that there are two categories of the oral law. There are perushim ha-mukubalim, and there are halacha l'moshe misinai. And then the Rambam goes ahead and lists all of the examples of halacha l'moshe misinai and shows how these are relatively few. Now, there is a number of problems with this list here, and this is an old problem raised by many of the Achronim. The first problem is that many of the things about which it is stated in the Gemara that they are halacha l'moshe misinai, there is indeed machlokas. And that contradicts the Rambam's important principle that there is no machlokas about halacha l'moshe misinai. This is an old question, about which there are a number of answers. I remember once hearing Rostav quoted this Rambam, and he said, Lo matzati shum kushya la Rambam. So I asked him, what about this and what about that? So he has a whole mahalich, and I don't remember it, unfortunately. I have to find out what it is, but about according to which there's not a single question. The second issue with this list is that there are cases which are dinim derabanan on this list. Namely, the Rambam, it's not the Rambam's fault, because the Rambam was just getting it from the Gemara Mishnayos. There are cases in Mishnayos which seem to call dinim derabanan halacha l'moshe misinai. So how do we deal with this issue? There are a number of approaches. Let me briefly present to you the approach of the Rav, which is very radical, but along the way presents a number of other important points. You could find this approach. There is it's one of the Shiurim L'Zecher Avi Mori. It's entitled Two Types of Mesoresh, and it's an excellent piece on this topic in general. And the Rav suggests that there are basically two types of mesoros. The first is about things which are nitan to seichel, to the intellect, things that we could understand and debate and argue and truly figure out. And the second is the type of mesorah which is purely oral, which is not nitan to seichel at all, which is not subject to human understanding and the like. When it comes to the first category, about which there, as I said, is nitan for seichel and there's machlokas. So there we find machlokas, as the Rambam says. That too is part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rambam writes in numerous places that even the things about which there are machlokas, the drashos that were made up by Chazal, they too are bichlal Torah Shebaal Peh, meaning to say Torah Shebaal Peh expands to include them. And also, as we'll see, to include dinim derabanan, the gzeros and tachanos minhagim all are also included in that. And that's how the Rambam, for example, that's how the Rav, for example, explained the brisker, the Beis Halevi's rejection of tcheles. Why is it that the Beis Halevi rejected the rishoner tcheles? Because tcheles falls under the category about which you need a mesorah. And mesorah is not nitan to svara, the second category. It's nothing to do with seichel. And therefore, since it has nothing to do with seichel, no amount of archaeological proofs are at all relevant. And to reestablish such a mesorah when lost, you need a navi. That's why the Rambam writes that when B'nai Yisrael came back to the Eretz Yisrael after the first galus in Bavel. They needed a Navi to tell them about the Makom HaMikdash and the Makom HaMizbeach. And even though, generally speaking, Ein Navi Rishai L'Chadish Davar, here with respect to the recreation of the second category of Mesorah, which is not Nitan to Seichel and Raos and the like, you need Navi. And because Tchelas falls under that category, no amount of proofs, as compelling as they may be, are relevant with respect to the innovation or the reconstitution of a tradition. Now with this, the Rav explains a very interesting idea. The Rambam famously writes that what does it mean when it says Ein based in Yachal Achlok al based in Shal Chaveiro Elin Ken Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma B'Minyan. The Rambam says that that is with respect to Gzeiros, Takanos, and Minhagim. When it comes to the interpretation of the law, remember, Beis Din has both the judicial role, the legislative role, and the interpretive role, all of which fall under the mitzvah of Lo Sasser and Vasisa Kachol Asher Yeruha. When it comes to their interpretive capacity, even a lower and weaker Beis Din can argue with an earlier Beis Din. Why? Because this type of tradition of Mesorah is Talu in Seichel and Havana and Svara, and thus any later Beis Din, even if they're weaker, can argue with an earlier Beis Din. So if an earlier Beis Din interpreted a pasuk one way and a later Beis Din believes that they made a mistake, they may argue about them about the interpretation of the pasuk. However, when it comes to Gzeiros, Takanos, and Minhagim, then you need to be Gadol B'Chachma Minyan. And not only that, but if it's a Gzeira, Lahamid, Davar, Shel Torah, to prevent the violation of Yisurin, even a greater Beis Din that's later cannot argue with the earlier Beis Din. Why is that? Because it comes to the second category of Mesorah, the category that's not Shaykh to Svara and Seichel and the like. And since it's not Shaykh to Seichel and Svara, a greater Beis Din cannot argue with a lesser Beis Din because it's become part of the tradition. And likewise, the Rambam writes, when anything was a halacha l'moshe misinai, if somebody had a Mesorah, nobody could argue. And even if they did argue, meaning to say that they didn't have that tradition, it's not a machlokas. It's not a machlokas. A machlokas is about where there are two legitimate opinions, when we say elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim and the like. When it comes to a machlokas about halacha l'moshe misinai, it's not a machlokas. And thus, perhaps this is a little lav dafka in the Lashon HaRambam, but when the Rambam says there's no machlokas about halacha l'moshe misinai, that doesn't mean that there wasn't a debate in the sense that nobody ever argued. No, there were times when some chachamim had the Mesorah about a particular halacha l'moshe misinai and others did not. But there was never a machlokas about it because the other opinion was not considered a bar plugta, because you can't argue with the second category of Mesorah, and thus the opinion that did argue would immediately retract. And that's why, indeed, there are no cases where there's a true machlokas about halacha l'moshe misinai. And the Rambam then, the Rav then goes ahead and states that this applies even to dinim derabbanan, in the sense that when something is accepted universally, it can fall under the second category of Mesorah. This is an idea that you see all over the Rambam. The Rambam writes, for example, in the Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah, why is it that the Talmud Bavli is binding? Why is it that when we have a halachic shaila, we always look to the Gemara? And no one could argue with the Gemara. Why? What makes the Gemara binding? And you'll say, it was the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Well, that's not true. The Talmud Bavli, Chasimas HaShas, was several centuries after the end of the Sanhedrin. And the answer the Rav says, the Rambam says, is because it was something that was accepted by the entire nation. The entire Jewish people universally accepted the Talmud Bavli, and thus it becomes binding forever and ever. Why? Because the Rav suggests that that too has the status of something equivalent to Sanhedrin HaGadol, because the root of the power of Sanhedrin HaGadol too comes from the people. That's why, for example, when it comes to a gzeira that's made by even the Sanhedrin HaGadol, if it's not nispashta, if it's not accepted by Rov of Klal Yisrael, it's automatically batal. You don't even need to uproot it. Why? Because the koach of the Sanhedrin HaGadol too comes from the people, and it's not a body that's above the people. This being the case, when you have a tradition that was universally accepted, even if it's technically speaking a din derabbanan, it too falls under the category of halacha l'moshe misinai, and about this as well, there can't be debate. Okay, Be'ezras Hashem, will pick up with this next week. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.